Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Man, I hope our next guest didn't just hear me sing like Blink 182. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. And Janae, I'm pretty excited. Like, so Janae, for anyone that doesn't know, Janae Agbumike, Houston, Texas very own, like all things Texas here. So you rep hard, correct?
Oh, all day, every day, 281-713-832. That's my life.
All in on that. And so we decided, we once said before, one, Agbumike is great, two is better when we talk to Chinee's sister, NECA. Well, a little Houston's great, more Houston is even better in this situation. So let's go out to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, where we're delighted to be joined by Houston's very own rapper Paul Wall with us here on Janae and Golic Jr. Paul, how you doing, man? Up, it appears that we can't hear Paul Wall at the moment right now, which is a shame because anyone watching on ESPN News right now, he's got the Zoom background of the Cadillac.
Look,
right there.
Like, he's looking clean.
It is
he's
all
looking
perfect.
Clean.
It is looking great. We're going to have to try and see if we can reconnect and get him on the phone or something because it is not coming through right now and it is breaking my heart. We want to ask Paul.
If it's breaking your heart, imagine what it's feeling for me.
I know. Like,
this is my childhood.
It is.
It's right here.
It's all of
coming to fruition.
We have been talking about, we have been singing Sitting Sideways, Grills, Driving Slow for the last week planning this out right now. So we're going to try and work that out and make that happen. Oh, there we go.
He's back.
The Iceman himself. How you doing, Paul?
What it do?
There we go. Hey, Paul.
I'm better now that y'all can hear me.
Yes, so much better.
What it do? Go to good. What's up,
H-Town? H-Town, you already know. You already know. And I have to jump in here because I'm a hooper, and I know I think you're a lefty hooper because I've seen you shoot. You're shooting for him. You're a lefty. I have to first ask you because these Rockets, sometimes they frustrate us. The series is tied 2-2, and you're a lefty just like James Harden. James Harden is having to do it by himself right now. We're waiting on Russ. What are your thoughts on our Houston squad?
A lot of people love to count out James Harden, and they even love to count out the Houston sports teams even more. But, you know, the diehard fans such as myself and you, you know, hey, the Rockets, we got faith. We, you know, we've always been the comeback city, the city that tells a story of comebacks. Even with Clutch City, when we were Clutch City before that, we were Choke City. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, being counted out is nothing new. As fans, we definitely, we got our faith in James Harden. You know what I'm saying? He hasn't showed up a lot of times in the past to the criticism, you know what I'm saying? But we
I'm
got our faith
you.
That one of these days he's going to go out there and take the reins and do his thing. You know what I'm saying? And when Russ come back, it's definitely going down.
There we go. So no lack of confidence in the Houston Rockets inside the NBA bubble as Paul Wall's with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. He's got a new record coming out at the end of the month in partnership with Red Bull that we're very excited to hear from him about on this one. But, Paul, the last time I saw you hanging out with one of Houston's very own and Alex Bregman, we know this Astros team right now for the rest of Major League Baseball is public enemy number one. So I got to ask you, man, what's it like to be the bad guy in Major League Baseball right now?
Hey, man, you know, they try to discredit our championship like every other team wasn't doing the same thing or worse, or like that's the first time there's ever been a scandal in sports or in baseball. I mean, be for real. If you're going to put asterisks or you're going to start discrediting championships, this is not the first place to start. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, especially when it's been proven that other teams the same year did the same thing and worse, and that the players weren't told to stop, only that the executives were told to stop. So, I mean, as the fans of the Astros, who the Astros are playing for, they're playing for themselves, their family, and the fans. We riding with the Astros all the way, all day. Now, the rest of the sports world painting the Astros as villains, that's something new because, you know, for most of sports history, the Astros never were really respected. We have respected players that we see come and go, like some of the greats, Jose Cruz, Nolan Ryan, Roger Clemens, Jeff Bagwell, Craig Biggio, so many others, Larry Durkin. We got a lot of them that have came and went. You know, the players get the respect. but the team organization has always counted out from back in the 80s to the 2000s, and now they're trying to, while the ink is still dry, they're trying to wipe us off the map. But guess what? The players and the fans, hey, we ready. You know, this is the first time we've been the villain, but hey, man, we tell the play. I tell Bregman and all the players all day, we got y'all back, man. We ride with y'all. Hey, we still got one of the top offenses in baseball. You know what I'm saying? Of course, we had our issues with, oh, my God, with the injuries. Even today, you know what I'm saying, coming out what they saying about Jordan Springer, you know what I'm saying, and Bregman, of course, they saying he's out 3 weeks, but hey, man, when it's all said and done, we still got our faith in our team, man, you know what I'm saying, we got it, man, the Astros still got a great squad, and man, y'all better be ready for us come playoff time, because it's going down.
Always, Paul, here with Paul Wall, artist, rapper from my city, our city of Houston. Now, Paul, I have two questions for you. One, who will look better with a grill, myself or Golic Jr., and two, who is a favorite athlete that you've made a grill from? Because you are the king of grills, both on the car, but also in your mouth.
Oh, definitely. I think you would look good in a grill. I can see you in a nice bottom grill tonight.
Thank you.
Right here, a nice bottom grill, similar to the Beyonce style. Oh, yeah, I can see that definitely. I'm here for that. All day. Golic, I got you too, though. I got you, bro.
There we go. Listen.
Definitely. You know,
No, definitely. I can say, who's your favorite? Go ahead.
My favorite athlete, I think, my favorite athlete to have made a grill for. Definitely the World Series grills. They mean a lot to me because it was a way I can award grills to the team squad, congratulate them, as well as, you know, when we made grills for various Olympians, you know, to congratulate them. That definitely means a lot to me. But I think my favorite athlete to have made a grill for, it's a double. It's Venus and Serena. Those are definitely my favorite athletes to have made a grill for. Just to be in the aura of their greatness, you know what I'm saying? They're so accomplished. I got so much respect for them just as people, individuals as well. But just to be able to have the opportunity to make them grills, man, I think that they did. I've done some greats, you know what I'm saying? I got a nice resume of greats, even when it comes to athletes. You know? But I definitely shout out to Venus, shout out to Serena.
That's incredible. We're going to work behind the scenes to try and add ourselves to that list right now, because I feel like some Chiney and Golic Jr. custom grills might be the medicine in this one right now. And, Paul, we want to hear about your project that you're working on coming up next month with Red Bull. But I have to ask, because watching artists, watching producers and everyone during this quarantine do these versus battles on Instagram got me thinking about it. Like, if you got the chance to be a part of one of these, is there someone you looked at and say would make a great partner, would make someone great for Paul Wall to battle on one of these versus battles on Instagram?
It's definitely tough to say. I would have to go probably to my H-Town brethren, Chameleonaire, who I started with. I grew up with him since childhood. We came up together. Then we went our separate ways, and we made solo careers of ourselves. Shout out to him, his family. I think he would be a good one just to, you know, for our fans, because we started off together as well. But even with me and him, it would be not a competitive type of versus. It would be more of a love and a commissary. You know, like I would like to, you know, I'll play his music, you know what I'm saying? And he play my music kind of thing, you know, because at the end of the day, when I first started, he was my inspiration, my partner in crime. That while I did it with him, he made me better, I made him better, and we were, you know, we grew up and came up together. So shout out to Chameleon. That might be who I think I would definitely choose.
Oh, I love this. This is all my age now.
Best believe we would be locked in for that one. So whoever is listening out there at Versus or anything, we got to make that happen right here, right now, as we're talking to Paul Wall here on Chiney and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., and Chiney Agwumike talking to Houston's very own. And so, as I mentioned, Paul, we want to hear about this. You got a project coming up next month, a record in conjunction with Red Bull. What can you tell us about what you guys got in the works?
Right before COVID hit, I had the opportunity to go to Red Bull Studios. They do the Red Bull Studio sessions they put out on YouTube. It's an experience where you get a real behind-the-scenes look at how an artist can get in there with various writers, producers, and just get in there and create. And these are some of the top producers and writers that are out there. And it was a great experience for me. The whole thing was filmed behind the scenes, and we put a whole project together. It's called Subculture. It's coming out on September 14th. That also, you know, September 13th is the 15-year anniversary of me putting out my album, The People's Champ. So it's kind of like a celebration of that as well. You know, what it's called Subculture is coming out September 14th. It's the Red Bull Studio Sessions that's coming on the YouTube, and as well as the project, the full music project. And shout out to all the producers, the writers, everybody behind the scenes, everybody who put in on that, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, the timing was it was a blessing to be able to do it right before COVID, because when we're in there recording, we're not knowing that COVID is happening. Actually, when I came home from the studio session, my wife, everybody like, hey, man, you see what's going on, this COVID thing? Weren't you just coming from California? I kind of quarantined from my family a little bit coming back from just traveling through the airport right before COVID hit. Then when COVID hit, we're like, what are we going to do? You know, just like the rest of the world is like, what are we going to do? But, you know, to be able to get in there and have that opportunity right before COVID, you know, it's something that now that COVID has hit, it's something that a lot of artists and producers, writers and musicians like myself, you know, we yearn for that opportunity to be around other people of the same energy. You know what I'm saying? So it was a true blessing to really get in there. Now I can really appreciate it because it's something that hasn't been able to come around since COVID. So shout out to everybody. It's coming out September 14th. It's called Subculture.
Absolutely.
Paul, we appreciate you so much. We look forward to the project, and thanks for doing it for our community back home in Houston. I miss it, and you hold it down.
Definitely. Thank y'all for having me. This is a shirt we got for a charity, you know, but we're going to keep it moving. Man, thank y'all for having me. Definitely thank y'all for having me.
Absolutely. Paul Wall, the People's Champ, Houston rapper, joining us here on Chiné and Golic Jr. That was everything I hoped it was going to be and more. That was so cool.
We're about to get grills.
We are. I was going to say, we're really going to have to work that behind the scenes here right now. So keep that locked in, ESPN News crowd. You might get a treat in the coming weeks here. But coming up next, we got to check in back inside the bubble. The latest on Damian Lillard. Again, going to be a no-go for Game 5 for the Portland Trail Blazers. A knee injury going to keep him off the court. We'll talk about that, plus the Raptors' plan for their upcoming series with one of our best and brightest. That's next at Chiné and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chiné and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Still so much Houston energy in the room right here.
I love it.
Basking in the glow. Our thanks to Paul Wall for joining us in that last segment. It's Chiné and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We get to go back to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line to talk to our next guest. Our ESPN NBA reporter, Malika Andrews, joins us from inside the bubble. And Malika, we appreciate the time today. Thanks for jumping on with us on short notice here, but you and Tim Bontemps had a story up on ESPN.com talking about the Toronto Raptors and their response to what we've seen with the shooting of Jacob Blake and their discussions about potentially not playing against the Celtics Thursday. What more can you tell us about that situation?
Yeah, Mike. So the Raptors had a meeting today, Fred VanVleet said, and multiple, you know, sources on the team and players kind of told me about. And the consensus was, in the wake of the shooting of Jacob Blake in Wisconsin, in Kenosha, we need to do something. And there wasn't an expectation, right, that coming to Orlando, snapping your fingers, putting Black Lives Matter on the court and on T-shirts would automatically create some sort of tangible, meaningful, lasting change. But this incident reiterated to a lot of players in this bubble that there are some very real issues in terms of racial equality that seem to continue to plague this nation. And so the Raptors basically had a meeting saying, well, what we've done so far isn't working. And there isn't a consensus, as we put in the story, that absolutely, unequivocally, they will not play on Thursday. But it's one of many options they have discussed because they feel that right now they aren't being heard and things aren't changing.
I have to celebrate you, Malika, my sis, because you were the first one in our family, our ESPN family, in the bubble. So no one knows it better than you. You know, seeing what's happening now outside of the Raptors, what conversations are happening in real time? Because games are still going on, and this is something, this feeling will not go away for the players.
Yeah, I mean, over the last couple of days, since the footage came to light, been passed around on social media of Jacob Blake being shot 7 times in the back, you can see that the weight that put on these players' shoulders. And so there are conversations that are being had in individual locker rooms between friends of, hey, this is still going on. And again, like I said, we knew it was going to continue, but this is another slap in the face and a reminder of the choice that we made to be here. And so you see guys like LeBron James using their social, using their time with reporters, like after a big game, which they won, to say, hey, this is what I'm focused on. Half of my mind was on this horrible incident, and the other half was on basketball. You see Chris Paul using his walk-off interview with the fantastic Stephanie Reddy of TNT, redirecting it on live on national television to talk about this. And so the what they're weighing right now, Chinee, is we're talking about this as often as we can. And yeah, it might have died down a little bit. It might have quieted a little bit in the playoffs. But is that enough? Is that enough? Is donating enough? And if it isn't enough, what is enough and what can we do?
And unfortunately, there's not an easy answer or marker for what enough looks like. And I know that's what a lot of these players, unfortunately, have to grapple with. Malika, we got to run. We appreciate you giving us some time on short notice. Great job and great reporting, as always. And I'm sure we'll talk to you very soon.
Thanks, Malika.
I appreciate you both.
It's again Malika Andrews, our ESPN NBA reporter and writer. You can follow her at Malika_Andrews on Twitter. And you just heard it there, Chinee. I think that's the idea, is no one knew what it was going to look like. And unfortunately, these are problems that became so inflamed over the summer. And we saw it hit a note that it really hadn't in this country in quite some time publicly like this. And then now to get to a point where you want to reach out. And so many of these players, you know this as athletes, you're really task-oriented. And there's some feeling about knowing a schedule, knowing what it takes, knowing the steps it takes to get there, and then getting it done. And then in this situation, it doesn't have an easy marker. There's no real easy, readily available finish line for all this. And that's got to be frustrating for this group of players right now.
It's extremely frustrating. But I think what athletes are relying on is their strength in numbers. For so long, I think every athlete has had a foundation and they've been trying to give back to the community using their own resources, trying to, you know, sort of find resources from people that support them. But now it's a remarkable shift that's happening in which we're seeing the collective power of a collection of athletes being able to push out a message. And I think when these situations are happening, that's what they're going to fall back on. It's going to be hard to figure out how I can help by myself in this moment. But the beauty is that's the bubble. We're all here together. And so, yes, it's going to be redirecting conversations during the walk-off interviews. It's going to be wearing certain shirts or hats to games. It's going to make sure that, you know, before games, we acknowledge things. We use our visuals so that we highlight the people that have lost or people that are fighting right now, like Jacob Blake. That is the nature in which athletes are finding their collective power, through doing it together. And so as hard as this moment is for anyone here, you know, anyone to process, I think it's the ability for them to be all together in this moment and do something with their amplified voice while also using the platform to show, look, this is what I create. We are the best basketball league in the world. And on top of it, this is what I care about. It's that hand in hand that makes this moment so powerful for them to just keep going through and pushing forward.
And that includes their white teammates that we've heard from a number of who have been listening and responding in a way that they hadn't before, understanding that this plight and this pain has to turn into something productive going forward. And the way that that's been voiced by yourself, LeBron James, others involved in More Than a Vote, and a number of these different instances, are starting to see these athletes put the wheels in motion with the power and platform that they've had. So plenty more coming up on that. The Detroit Lions made a strong stand on that today, and we'll talk to one of our very own reporters who was on the scene to see it in person. We will get to that next on Chinee and Golic Jr. after this word from DraftKings. DraftKings is the leader in one-day fantasy sports and has given away up to $100 million in prizes to all their customers. To get in on the action, just download the app and sign up using promo code CJR. Then enter DraftKings' free football survivor pool. Download the DraftKings app now. Use promo code CJR and claim your share of $100 million in instant giveaways and put yourself in the running for the $1 million cash top prize. That's promo code CJR only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Back after this, it's Chinee and Golic Jr.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chinee and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinee Igwumike. with you guys. And, Chiney, we always said, you know, leading this show off as we're getting ready and trying to figure out what the hell we're actually going to do on here. One thing we always wanted to do is kind of try and bring locker room conversations out into the forefront.
Yep.
And today feels like as important a day for that as possible with everything going on with the shooting of Jacob Blake, because these are the conversations that do happen inside locker rooms each and every day, whether it's in a basketball locker room, a football locker room. You get people from so many different backgrounds, so many different races, and so many different experiences that I always thought, for me, as someone who grew up in a really homogenous area, everyone looked like me, came from similar backgrounds, when I got to high school, when I got to college and started to be around people that came from different places, I got a different worldview that was injected into my own experience, and I always thought it was super helpful. And now for you to get to do that, not only on the professional level in your locker room, but to bring that to other people is always a powerful thing, I feel like.
It's truly huge. You know, locker rooms are that safe space where you literally are extremely vulnerable, and it's nice to see teams having these real conversations. We're talking about the NBA and the bubble having these conversations about the impact of what they just witnessed when it comes to Jacob Blake, but now we're also seeing it's happening in the NFL.
It is. And so we heard from one locker room today in the NFL, the Detroit Lions opted not to practice. And we're going to talk to our very own Detroit Lions NFL Nation reporter Mike Rothstein here in a second. But I want to play some sound from Matthew Stafford, one of the leaders in their locker room, one of the most well-known quarterbacks in the league, about what happened today for them.
No football was talked about. We were brought together, and coach just opened the floor. You know, we knew there were going to be guys in there that had heavy hearts and guys that had similar situations or close calls that have happened to them and needed to get it off their chest. And those conversations lasted for hours, and it was incredible to be a part of it, just like it was all spring. But it was the first time that, you know, we've really dedicated a chunk of time to talk about it when we're all in the building together.
Joining us now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line is our Detroit Lions reporter, Mike Rothstein. And Mike, if you can you just walk us through the events of today and how this came together for the Lions?
Yeah, sure. And Matthew Stafford said it when he talked with the media after they had their 10-minute demonstration protest outside of the facility, which is it all came together really organically. Today started out, at least for the media, as a regular day. We showed up at the facility getting ready for Matt Patricia to talk on Zoom at like 9:40 in the morning before 10:30 practice. At 9 a.m., we got an email saying, hey, it's going to be 10:10 and 10:45 for Patricia and then practice. Then 10:10 rolls around. Patricia doesn't show up for a while, doesn't show up at all. We get a text message saying, hey, he's going to talk after practice. Practice now at 11. Okay, then we're waiting outside the gate at 11. Practice is now at 1, Patricia's at 12:40, 12:45, and then at 1 o'clock we got a text message from Ian Reynolds, who's their PR person, basically saying, hey, I'm going to be out to address y'all at 1:20, and then he said, practice is canceled, the team is going to come out and talk to all of you shortly. And they all gathered, so they had us gather in front of the practice facility, and every player, and I believe every coach, everyone's wearing masks, so sometimes it's tough to see if people are in the back, right? But like they showed a unified front as players and coaches all came out. D'Ron Harmon, Trey Flowers, and Taylor Decker all talked for about 10 minutes explaining why they weren't practicing today, but what the shooting of Jacob Blake meant to them and why it affected them so much. They said that it was not about football for them today, and they had a whiteboard that had two messages on it. And they were both talking about wanting to be the difference, wanting to be the change. D'Ron Harmon said something to me that really stuck out, which was, they're going to work as hard as they can to win football games, but they're also going to work as hard as they can to create change. And that was the entire theme of their conversation in front of the entire media for 10 minutes that people got on video. And then throughout the entire 45 minutes with Matt Patricia and players all said the same thing. No football was talked about. And Matt Patricia even said he didn't feel right going out to practice after hearing those conversations. And this has really been an extension of what they did in the spring on Zoom calls and what some players have done in the summer. Trey Flowers, D'Ron Harmon, and Matthew Stafford had a town hall about getting out the vote. And Matthew Stafford donated $350,000 to create a social justice initiative at Georgia. And D'Ron Harmon's been very, very outspoken about issues throughout, really, since May and June. He was one of the players that spoke after the George Floyd killing and was very open about his experiences as well. And this is something that the Lions have talked about publicly for months now. And today, as D'Ron Harmon said, it was just a tipping point that they felt they needed to do something. And as Taylor Decker said, why not now?
Here with Mike Rothstein on Chenea Gold Jr., ESPN Detroit Lions reporter, who is taking us behind the scenes of Detroit's decision to not have practice and instead have conversations surrounding Jacob Blake's shooting. And Mike, within your .com piece, I read it, and you had a really interesting yet relatable anecdote from offensive tackle Taylor Decker. Can you share?
Yeah, basically he was saying during the meeting, he was listening to one of their other teammates. He didn't say which teammate, that had said every day his mom calls to make sure he got home okay. And he expanded on it a little bit in the Zoom call after that. You know, he asked, well, you know, it's 23, you know, the drive's 23 minutes from the facility to this player's home. And, you know, why? And she was like, because that's still 23 minutes. And then Taylor Decker was explaining that, I guess it was the other day, maybe, or earlier this week or late last week, he had driven home with a headlight out. And one of his teammates, Romeo Quarry, actually called him saying, hey, you have a taillight out. He has an Arizona license and Michigan plates. And he didn't think anything of it. But what teammates had relayed to him was that that would be a concern for them. But for Taylor Decker, he didn't think, oh, I won't get pulled over. And if I do, nothing will happen. And that, hearing those stories today really affected Taylor Decker. And you can see it if you see the video of him talking during that 10-minute speech with him, Harmon, and Flowers. He was getting, even though he had a mask on, was getting very, very, you could hear it in his voice, how emotional he was getting and how much that story affected him today. And that was something that every player that talked said that this was something that really affected them today. Matthew Stafford said it was the most proud he's ever been as a Lion, and he wishes everybody in the United States could have been in those conversations they had today, because he thinks it would have made a difference.
You can follow him on Twitter, at Mike Rothstein. You can read him on ESPN.com. Again, story filed about the Lions' decision to not practice and instead have some of these meaningful conversations. Mike, we appreciate the time, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you all for having me.
And Chenea, what he said there at the end, I think, is the one thing that always stuck out, and we talked about at the beginning here, the privilege of being in on some of those conversations, to have people that you trust in so many ways share their heart with you like that. It can't help but affect you, because you love and value these people in so many other ways. You love and value your black teammates in so many other ways, that when you hear these stories, it's gutting, because it's over and over again from so many different guys in so many different backgrounds, so many different men and women. So we'll keep getting into this all day, because it you can't run from this stuff. This is real life. This is what happens to people, you know, regardless of your status, like you brought up earlier in the show. But coming up next, we'll switch gears to a different level in the world of college athletics and what's going on, and why a bubble, while it ultimately feels inevitable, still has a lot of issues that go along with it. That's next. It's Chenea Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chenea Golic Jr., the podcast.
It's Chenea Golic Jr. reminding you, don't forget to listen to ESPN audio at home via your smart speaker. Listen to us making R&B
moan sounds. Chloe and Hallie love this. And I like that Instagramification.
It is. It's a great word right there. It's a very millennial word in a lot of this. ESPN audio at home brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz vans are ready for anything. And, Chenea, I want to ask you this, because both of us are former college athletes. I played my football at Notre Dame. You played your basketball at Stanford. And one of the things I always marveled at was what you guys pulled off, men and women in college basketball, during the tournament in March Madness, because you had to essentially take the whole show on the road. Like, you guys, for anyone that doesn't know, you're out there for the duration, really. And so you had to do a lot of your classwork on the road, essentially, correct?
Yeah, exactly. So pretty much when it came to our conference schedule being done and over, and we're going ready to, for me, it was a Pac-12 tournament, we sort of shifted gears to where, all right, everything is mobile. Let me get my exams done. Let me see if I can do them online. And our priority, obviously, was to maintain both, but we were doing it from different locations because of the tournament. Like, we'd go to Seattle for the Pac-12 tournament, and then we'd go, you know, we'd be fortunate to host where we could actually go to class. So everything becomes remote when it comes to that point in the season.
So it becomes essentially a mobile bubble, correct?
Pretty much.
So that brings me to my next point, because college football's had a tough day today as far as the news right now. earlier today, Jason Kersey of The Athletic, who covers Oklahoma, tweeted that Lincoln Riley won't say which group, but that all but one member of a position group was essentially taken off the field by a positive COVID test. That position group needs multiple guys on the field. He wouldn't say which, but you can sort of infer from that. Texas Tech reported 21 active cases within the program, all 21 in self-isolation, and the team practiced without them this afternoon. This by our own Heather Dinich, who asked the question we all ask. How many positive actually triggers a shutdown for a team? NC State might delay their season opener. We're seeing some reports from around there because 22 new positive tests within the athletic department. All sports activities have been halted there. Some of those are confirmed with inside the football team because of a cluster there. And then obviously we saw Alabama in a week's time, 500-plus positive cases on campus there. And Shanae, it all brings us back to the point here. You mentioned the bubble there that we've seen in college basketball. We've been shouting from the mountaintops in football, if you really wanted to protect the safety and go forward with the sequence season, you would just bubble the athletes. But people brought up, understandably, like, yeah, there's this whole amateurism thing where you can't have just the athletes on campus, just the football players on campus in a lot of this, as the AAC announced that all non-football sports for the fall will be going to the spring. But now we have gotten to this point. North Carolina and its football team, we know, are still working on campus even after their school, Notre Dame as well, inside the ACC, have sent students to digital classes online, many of them in North Carolina's cases going back home. In a Tuesday press conference last week, Mack Brown even acknowledged that it's almost turning into an advantage. He said it basically helps us create a better seal and a better bubble around our program, Brown said. The NBA bubble model is working. They've had very few distractions in this. And so it seems like they're almost backing into the thing that we said at the beginning everybody should do. And Chiné, I look at this and I struggle with it because it seems like they're just going to do it anyway, and there's not going to be any of those amateurism questions in all of this because they brought students back and let the bad thing happen first.
That's the question that they don't want answered. And I'm not talking about the people on the ground, you know, at universities, whether it's athletic departments, coaches, players, it's the above, the NCAA, because what we're seeing is where preferential models are being put in place because of COVID, in the sense that, okay, we're going to keep our athletes on campus, meanwhile, everyone else is in another situation, like whether they're at home studying remotely or they're, you know, even saying like stay in your dorms and limit your interactions. We all know what it's like on a college campus. The only way that it seems like it could really work is if you do isolate the athletes so that you can not only isolate them from exposure, but also contain. Contact tracing is going to be so important when you do get a positive test. And again, it's nice to see other leagues be able to have a system in place where, all right, you get access to two more tests within that same day, and we can clear that positive test. But if the frequency of the tests is what we're seeing two times a week or so, it could be a little difficult. So there are a lot of questions that need to be answered, but more so, it's sort of like, can we acknowledge the elephant in the room that you need these athletes to be separated because they are different, and the difference is that they generate money for your institution that is needed to help the other students there? Like, acknowledge that. Oh, it's okay.
Like, the AAC just acknowledged it with their decision. Like, they didn't even just separate you from the other students. They separated from the other athletes. They said soccer, volleyball, these other sports. You'll play in the spring, and we'll just do football right now. It's so obvious, but it becomes the difficult question going forward of, how exactly do we process all this? I understand Nick Saban and others who have said this isn't about the money for them, it's about the football. I believe that down on the team level. But you're right, this is at those higher levels now where they've got to ask some uncomfortable questions about how we really treat these athletes going forward, because what they're finding out on these campuses now is just what you said. When you bring students back, they're going to be college students, no matter how many emails you send out to them telling them how to live right, how to act right in this pandemic. It is too many bodies on campus doing the thing that young people that feel invincible do. And so they're finding out the bubble is going to be the only way. Are they going to be willing on the back end of that to acknowledge, hey, this is just a different antiquated model that's not going to work anymore?
I think they're worried about hurting feelings, but it's like we all know where we are in the athletics totem pole. Like, there's football, there's basketball. Even at Stanford, women's basketball was up there. So don't hurt feelings. Let's just keep it real so that we could keep sports in the game, literally.
And what you mentioned there, there's no uniform policy of testing. It's a grab bag trying to figure this out. The Big 12 is going to test 3 times a week. We don't know what every other conference is going to do in a lot of these ones. And you mentioned the difference there, the availability and the massive funding these pro sports leagues have versus college. So much more to get into on that. So much more to get into diving back into the NBA bubble. A lot of action on the court, but even bigger and more important conversation off of it. We'll get to all that next. It's Shanae and Golic Jr.